Amen. You may be seated. Hey, happy 2018, everyone. Here we are. Yep. You come on. We're here. Yes, I love it. And welcome to the first chapel of the second semester. Hey, and whether this is your first chapel you've ever been to or your 100th chapel you've been to, we are glad that you are right here now. This morning, I had the great pleasure to partner with Andrea. Senior Andrea Ramirez from Joliet, Illinois.
Yes.
Golly, I'm really off now. Would you welcome Andrea, who is going to be reading the scripture today? Senior.
He just wants to see me another year. That's it.
Andrea is going to be reading our scripture text, two of them today. One is from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, and the second is 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. Hear the word of the Lord.
Do you not know that in a race, the runners all compete, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win it. Athletes exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one. So I do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as though beating the air, but I punish my body and enslave it, so that after proclaiming to others, I myself should not be disqualified.
Then for 1 Timothy chapter 4, 7 and 8.
Train yourself in godliness, for while physical training is of some value, godliness is valuable in every way, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come.
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And thank you, Andrea, senior. Senior. Thank you, Andrea. Saturday, May 8th, 1982. It's the day of the Old Kent Riverbank Run, which is now known as the Fifth Third Riverbank Run. It's a 15.5-mile race held in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And it was only a month earlier that my then Hope College roommate, Tim Skipper, and I decided to run this particular race as a way of putting an exclamation mark on our senior year at Hope College. Neither one of us had ever run a distance race before, but we said, why not? So, you have to remember, this is 1982, before internet. So we did not have any training programs or training guides of how to run a 15.5-mile race. So Skip and I decided to put together our own training program. And that was to run a few times a week, whenever you wanted, and to at least run one long race before May 8th. That was our training program. So May 8th comes, and Skip and I line up on a beautiful, cool spring morning in downtown Grand Rapids with 5,000 other runners. I was fired up. I was sporting some cool blue and white pinstripe shorts, some cool Nike waffle sole running shoes. I was looking very good. And I remember the starting gun going off, and I came out of the blocks fast, I think a little too fast, as I ran the first mile in 5 minutes and 40 seconds. The adrenaline was pumping, and after a while, I quickly hit a more normal pace. I can remember at the 7-mile mark seeing my sister Betsy waving to her, telling her I was feeling good. Now, the race, at least at that point, you run out of the city for about 9 miles, and then you make a turn at the 9.5-mile mark at Johnson Park, and then you start running back into the city and finish in downtown. Well, at the 9.5-mile mark, they tell you what place you're in and what mile pace you're running. And they told me at the 9.5-mile mark, I was in 966th place, and I was running 7-minute miles. Feeling pretty good about myself. At that point, I said, I'm making a decision. I want to finish under the 1,000th mark, and I want to continue to run 7-minute miles. And so I kept trudging, running along. And there's one thing I learned in those first 9.5 miles. It was this. When a runner was in trouble, there was a consistent physical pattern, bodily pattern that happened when a runner was in trouble. They would begin to weave. And then after a few minutes, maybe even after a few seconds, they would just kind of plop alongside the road, collapse, done, over. So I registered, if the weave starts in my life, I know I'm in trouble. I put in my head. So I kept moving on, and I hit the 12.5 mile mark. And as I hit the 12.5 mile mark, I hear the roars of the crowd at the finish line. I'm coming in to the closing in downtown Grand Rapids. I'm very excited. But something else happened at the 12.5 mile mark. My body told me, I'm done. Not going anymore. No mas. Not happening. Not happening. Didn't matter what my mind was saying to my body said, I'm done. And at that point, do you know what happened? The weave started to happen. Done. Next thing I know, I hear voices all around me, over around me, but I can see nothing. And the voices sound like doctors and nurses. And at that moment, I said to myself, I'm in a hospital, and I'm in trouble. I'm in real trouble. I'm thinking I've really overdone it at this point, to the point that I think I'm going to die. True story. I think I'm done. So at that point, Melody, who I was engaged to, my wife now, I began to say goodbye to her. I'm going to die. And so I tell her I love her, and I tell her she can marry somebody else. And so I get through with Melody, and then I go through each member of my family, say goodbye to my mom and dad and my brother and sister. And once I got through the list, I said, okay, Lord, I'm ready to go. True story. I tell the Lord I'm ready to go, and at that moment, I feel this light floating sensation. True story. And I'm thinking, oh, baby, I'm going home to see Jesus. And as I'm feeling this light-floating sensation, I see a bright light, and I go, oh, my gosh, I'm coming home. And then I see a cross, true story, and I'm saying, Lord, I'm here. Just when I'm so excited that I think I've arrived, I feel this tugging sensation on me, like I'm going the other way. And I'm saying, Lord, what is going on here? What is actually happening was that I was in Mary Freebread Hospital in downtown Grand Rapids. I was so badly dehydrated that I had blacked out, and I was now hallucinating. And so when I was telling the Lord that I was ready to go, actually, true story, I had stood up on my hospital bed telling the Lord, true story, that I was ready to go. And the bright lights that I saw, the hospital windows were up high in Mary Freebread. That was the sun coming in. And the cross was one of the church steeple crosses in downtown Grand Rapids. Now get this. The pulling down, true story. 8 security guards and nurses pulling me back down as I'm talking to Jesus the whole time. They strap me down on the bed, they get me in good shape, and for the next 8 hours, they pump fluids back into my body. When they were finally ready to release me, one of the old security guards, true story, comes in and says, Paul, I gotta tell you, that was one of the best testimonies I've ever heard in my life, because ever since they brought me in the hospital, I had been talking out loud the whole time, telling Melody, I love you, you can marry somebody else, goodbye to my parents, and Jesus, I'm ready to go home. True story. True story, but a sad story, right? A true story of me who tried to run a 15.5-mile race instead of me training to run a 15.5-mile race. Did you catch it? Let me say it again. It's a true story of me who tried to run a 15.5-mile race instead of me who trained to run a 15.5-mile race. You see, trying usually is tied into nice and noble ideas that seldom form or shape or produce or last, while training is usually tied into difficult and demanding life choices that the majority of the time does form, does shape, does produce, and does endure. There's an immense difference between trying to do something and training to do something. And this is true when it comes to running a 15.5-mile race, as well as when it comes to nurturing our faith. Author John Ortberg affirms this in his book, The Life You've Always Wanted, Spiritual Disciplines for Ordinary People, when he writes, "Spiritual transformation is not a matter of trying harder, but training wisely." The Apostle Paul picks up on this vision of training in the letter to the church in Corinth and to his letter to his protege Timothy that Andrea read, when he says, "Train yourself in godliness." Now, the Greek word that the Apostle Paul uses for train is gymnasio, which is closely related to our English word gymnasium. The Apostle Paul is saying that if you want to grow in your relationship with God, you have to join the gymnasium of faith, where you can exercise and build your spiritual muscles. Now, did you know that the month of January is by far the highest month in regards to new memberships at gyms and workout facilities, right? And you know why, right? New Year's resolutions. I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to get in shape. Now, there's a big difference in getting a membership to a gym and saying that I'm going to try to get in shape, but never going to the gym, versus getting a membership to a gym and actually going to the gym to work out and to train. Are you tracking with me? There's an immense difference between trying and training when it comes to getting in shape, as well as when it comes to growing in our faith. Trying isn't enough. We need to make intentional lifestyle choices that demand discipline and training. So bottom line, we all have to get into the gymnasium of faith, regardless of where you're at with your relationship with Jesus, whether how well you know the Bible or don't know the Bible, whether you were raised in the church or whether you're not raised in the church, all of us, every one of us here today has to get into the gymnasium of faith. And here's the good news. I got great news for you today. On this first day of a new semester, that there is no membership fees for the Gymnasium of Faith at Hope College. Did you hear that? There are no membership fees. It's free. And I'm telling you, there's two great new classes starting this semester through Campus Ministries to help you build your faith. Great classes with great instructors. I want to show you the first one. Class number one is called First Step, and it's led by fitness guru and celebrity James Ellis. This class is for folks who are curious about the Christian faith, who are exploring the Christian faith, who may be new to the Christian faith. This is classes for people who may resonate with the student who sent me this email. "Paul, growing up, my family was not religious, but I came to Hope in order to grow my faith, and I believe this is the time for me to start. Can you help me take the first step in growing my faith because I don't know really where to start?" If you can resonate with that, you need to get in James Ellis' First Step. The second class is called Next Step, really creative titles, being taught by international renowned fitness coaches Lauren and Derek Taylor. This class is for folks who are Christians who may be stuck or stagnant in your faith right now, and you're sick of trying to grow your faith, and you're serious about getting some training. You want to get in their class, Next Step. These groups are going to be called affinity groups. You're going to see all kinds of promotion on campus about them. So when you see these, this is what we're talking about. Both these classes will be held on Thursday nights from 9 to 10 o'clock, 7-week courses. that will last through up to spring break. So how do you sign up? Here it is before you leave. Take your phones out right now. Take them out. Take your phones out. Take them out. Take a picture of this right now, and then we're going to leave. Take a picture. We're not going to go until you get I want to see all the phones. Get them out. Get them out right now. Take a picture of this, and I want to say to you, sign up today. Trying and training, there's immense difference. Make it happen this semester. Go in peace.